Yeah. Sun's out. And we lit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Front Yard Sucks. This is episode number 7. We are your hosts, Ben Weisel, and I'm joined by Sam Greenberg. Sam, how you doing tonight?
Good, good, good. We got some big news to announce today, or tonight, I guess.
Yeah, some really big news. So Sam was sort of the coordinator behind it. So Sam, I'll let you talk a little bit about it.
So we did some shopping around, I guess. I wouldn't say shopping, but we've been grateful enough to let's just say we're free agents. And we got picked up by WTP Sports, which is We the People Sports. It's based out of Boston. It's got a pretty big following, and a guy named Joe Scotch, who is the head guy of the organization, went ahead and said he was going to back our podcast and promote it through their website and whatnot. So pretty big news.
Yeah. So we have a new Twitter account for the podcast. We're going to start taking this a little bit more seriously. You can follow us at Front Yard Sox on Twitter. We'll be doing giveaways. Sam is great about live tweeting during the game. I'll sort of provide he's sort of the Dave O'Brien. I'm a little bit of the Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah. Little, and that's unless I
color commenter to the play by play. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, go ahead and follow that for sure. That's, I mean, all of our important information is going to be on there, when our upcoming podcasts are going to be and whatnot. So it's, and we'll have our link so you can go ahead and subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yeah, and I did also just like to add that thus far, we really appreciate all the support we've gotten from everyone who's tuned in, who's followed us on Twitter, who's been following along throughout the early stages of this process. It's really, really appreciated by both Sam and I. We're both doing this just for fun. We're both big Red Sox fans in sort of desolate areas in terms of Red Sox fan base. I know that the Red Sox fan base stretches far and wide, but we're very grateful. So thank you all all of you who have tuned in so far, and we're really looking forward to taking this to the next level. I'm going to be having some more time on my hands following the end of my summer job. So we will be able to edit our podcasts much more efficiently and sort of provide some better quality on our end. But again, thank you all who have tuned in so far.
Yeah. And even though we're having fun, me and Ben, actually, I would say we put some pretty good effort into it and worked pretty hard to make sure we're putting out the best quality that we can. And it's only going to get better too with experience and learning new things of how to edit and just bring better content to people who are listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that being said, today's episode is going to cover the series that we had that the Red Sox just finished in Baltimore, a 4-game sweep. For those of you who tuned in, we will be providing a recap of that series along with talking about the bullpen and the different issues that entity has experienced over the last few games. And then also we're going to talk about what's going on around the league, because I think outside of the AL East, there are some very, very exciting divisional races going on heading down the stretch here, which will make for a fantastic September and even better October. So definitely a lot to look forward to in this podcast. We're both really excited. So with that being said, Sam, what do we think of the Baltimore series?
Man, I don't know about you, but it was the most, I want to say the most sloppy, dirtiest, boneheaded sweep of the entire season. How about you?
Absolutely. I completely agree.
Yeah, I just thought it was playing down to their level.
Yeah.
You know,
I think so.
I don't think we took Baltimore that seriously. I know we had some pitching issues we had to deal with, but there were errors in the Brock Holt had a couple of, Jackie Bradley had a freaking drop ball in the outfield. So, and that doesn't even dive into the bullpen, which is, I think it's going to be a huge talking point about
starting off with game one. I do have to mention that when Sam and I sat down 2 episodes ago, we sort of talked about who we thought between Porcello and Eovaldi would have a tough outing next. Sam chose Porcello. I chose Eovaldi. And I have to say, we're both right.
Yeah, we can't really choose when they're – I mean, it was the same rotation, so it wasn't like it was two different rotations. But I guess – hey, but I would say Eovaldi had the worst start of the two. So Eovaldi is mortal, everybody. I figured he was going to go out there and throw a no-hitter, but I, you know, was obviously extremely wrong. So Eovaldi went out and pitched a wonderful 2.2 innings and had 10 hits off of him, 4 earned runs, a couple walks, and it just looked like he could not find the
plate. Yeah, so I mean, that's the thing I sort of noticed early was he came out there and he put a couple guys on in the first inning, and you could tell it just – we'd seen in the first two starts. He was yanking fastballs. He was missing his spots. He was leaving some pitches, and he got out of it in the first inning, and then it really came full circle when he went out there for the second, really got hit around and put the Red Sox in a position to lose. So the Red Sox went up 3-0 early, and just like that, it was an 8-3 Baltimore lead heading into the fifth inning. I was gone. I had practice again. I have this weird tendency of leaving bad Red Sox baseball games for practice and coming back and just seeing the Red Sox putting up monster numbers offensively. So I came back and the Red Sox had scored 14 runs, which is the second week in a row that that has happened.
Yeah, I mean, I'm almost about to tell you just go ahead and practice whenever game's going to shit.
I think that it would be really nice to time that up. It'll be interesting to see what happens next time. If someone goes out there, like if Price goes and gets shelled, you can bet your ass I'm just booking it down to the local field and I'm getting some work in. I'm just leaving my phone for like 5 innings.
So riddle me this. I'm looking at, you know, the numbers. We have 7 guys pitching this game. Eovaldi had 4 earned runs off of them. And then in the third, okay, in the second, where are these other 4 runs? Are these all 4 runs unearned by Workman?
So that's the thing. I tuned into that part, so I really didn't know what was going on. I know that there was some sloppy defensive play, so I'm sure that those earned runs came that stretch. Because Eovaldi gave up the 4 earned, and then I think he gave up.
Maybe he had the bases low. I don't know. But either way, the bullpen didn't look pretty. The only one who looked good in this game, which is going to be funny.
Yeah, and
is
he ended up getting the win.
Yeah. So I Drew Pomeranz goes to the bullpen, which now I like him, and now I hate Heath Embry again.
So there's something that I don't really understand, and it's that in the sixth inning, an Orioles pitcher named Cap own save. That's saves for me feel like just like a very arbitrary thing. Like I don't, they just don't really feel I can never really follow along with what they mean and when they mean it. For me, it's just like the classic, it just feels like the classic, you go in there in the ninth with less than 3 runs for a save opportunity.
Okay, so I think it's actually you have the right idea, but it's after the 6th. I think it has to be 3 innings or less, and it has to be within 3 runs. Anything over 3 runs.
Wow, that's
it.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because
I could be wrong, though, but I'm almost positive
that's what it is. It's very rare for me to feel flustered by a statistic shown.
Yeah, you're usually the stat guy. You kind of know. Yeah.
So
looking it out.
That being said, the Red Sox definitely turned it on. Mookie. Yeah, Mookie.
Hey, Holt got another home run.
Yeah, I mean, definitely player of the game for me was Brock Holt. When you have a 7 guy providing offense when the offense is struggling to keep up with the opposing team, that's when you really know your team is deep, considering too the injuries that we've had. So Betts also had a 3-hit night. Benny drove in 3 runs. Uh-huh. He scored 3 runs. He did leave 6 on base, which was a little bit troubling. Mookie also added 2 walks, putting his average at 352 and his OPS at 11 1114, which is absurd.
Yeah, I can't. It's like an everyday thing now for Red Sox fans that we kind of like brush over these stats. But these stats, okay, so you remember at the first of the season, and you know, everybody's talking about, wow, Mike Trout is having one of the best seasons in all of baseball right now, and nobody's talking about it. Well, if you go look at the numbers, the only thing Trout is leading in is walk rate and on base percentage, and that's due to his walk rate. Everything else is in Mookie's name, and Mookie has like 10, 15 less games and has better numbers, better. He has more runs, RBIs, about the same amount of home runs. So it's absolutely ridiculous that nobody's talking about Mookie having the absolute best season that baseball's ever
had. For me, it's just, it's also too, like, it's all relative. Like you look at Mookie, and of course you're like, he's automatically going to have less walks because he's a leadoff hitter. You don't ever want to walk a leadoff guy. You don't want to walk Mookie Betts with the potential to steal with Benny, Moreland, Martinez, Bogarts, Devers, those guys coming up. Because with Trout batting cleanup, obviously the guys behind him, I mean, they no longer have Kinsler, but the guys behind him aren't that great of hitters. You would rather take your chances with somebody else than you would with Mike Trout. You'd rather put him on base. So that leaves some margin for error, whereas with the Red Sox, you know that there are so many other guys that can do damage.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. But that's a tangent right there.
I definitely think that with Mike Trout and Mookie Betts, like, that's definitely an argument to be had for another time. But it's more just circumstances where they hit, them, and like sort of the rest of the lineup and how that's rounded out.
Yeah, 100%. So back to this ball game where there was 31 runs scored.
Wasn't pretty.
It wasn't, and it just sucks because you want to be happy about a game you scored 19 runs in. It's just with everything that happened at the trade deadline, and we were really looking to go get, you know, a reliever, and we didn't. Hold on one second. And everything we were looking to go get, and Dombrowski was like, you know what, we're sticking with our guys, and there's some real men in our bullpen, and then this is happening. It's kind of upsetting.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll dive in sort of at the end to look at the bullpen. But regardless, absolute slugfest. It wasn't pretty, but the Red Sox offense showed once again that they are just – probably the best in the league, and that they can carry the freight when they need to, when the pitching staff is struggling. So moving on to game two, David Price looks pretty good.
Oh yeah. And at least I am. I'm pretty sure Ben is on the train because I'm way too deep into to not let him be on the train, but we are some David Price lovers.
Oh yeah.
So,
well, I think for me, whenever there's a bad start, people hop on his case, and I think there's no reason not to be a David Price fan because we're giving him so much money, and he needs to be an influential part of this team if they're going to be making a postseason run. And I get with all that money, he should be doing something positive. He should be an ace type pitcher, but at the same time, it's just so much better if he's not a waste of space and he's being productive. So right now, obviously he's been a phenomenal starting pitcher the last couple of starts, including a very, very impressive start against the Yankees.
I think he's been great all year. He's really only had two or three bad starts, and he's been on the mound 24 times.
I think the one, like, obviously that the two Yankees starts, the first two of the season, one where he was pulled because of the tingly fingers.
Yeah, I'm not even.
And then the second
that.
One where he gave up, eight runs to the Yankees in the Bronx on Sunday Night Baseball the first time through, were bad. And then it was sort of compounded by that terrible start against the Royals, where he made the Royals lineup look like very patient, well-developed major league hitters, which they weren't.
Yeah, and, I mean, pitchers are all going to have their bad day, and even. And even Price is going to have their bad day. I mean, you can't expect these guys, like, he has 24 starts now. You can't expect him to be 24-0 with a zero ERA and a million freaking strikeouts. So it's like, this is just not how the game of baseball works.
No, absolutely not. But we did see him pitch a very, very sharp game against against the Orioles this weekend. It was game one of the day-night doubleheader. This was actually the makeup game where he looked very sharp from the start leading up to, I think it was 2 weeks ago, leading up to that Yankee series. And he looked really good, and obviously the Red Sox put up some runs early, and then that game was postponed. So it was almost poetic justice that he got a chance to go out there and deal and be very, very productive as a starting pitcher, sort of the guy we expect to see from of Price. So obviously that was huge, and it was just like that. That was probably the least sloppy of all the games. It was just like fundamental baseball, sort of the stuff we've seen from the Red Sox all year. And it's that was just sort of like, we're in and out, take care of business. JBJ, two home runs. Nunez also hit very well. So just like good day for the Red Sox. Good game for the Red Sox.
Yeah, 100%. And what was kind of funny is that Alex Cora took him out in the sixth inning, and people were thinking he was going to go into the seventh inning because you remember last time that happened. And then Hembry comes in, and I think it was Hembry, was it not?
It was Hembry.
Yeah, and he put a couple people on base, and it didn't look pretty for a second. And I was like, come on, like Alex Cora cannot get it
right.
Yeah,
so I think that's smart. Obviously, you expect someone of his caliber to go into the seventh inning, especially with that kind of pitch count. But the Red Sox were in no position to try and rush anything and make something more of that start that it needed to be. And he went out there and he did his job. Mad at that.
And, I mean, yeah, and touching on JBJ again, when did this dude get all this power?
I mean, we've known he's a streaky hitter, and when he's hot, he's hot. And when he's cold, he's very cold. So he's definitely starting to find his stride, and he might just become the most dangerous hitter in the Red Sox lineup come October.
Yeah, especially hitting in the nine hole, I love it.
If he starts getting on base,
go ahead
in front of Mookie. I mean, we're not even asking him to hit a bomb every at bat, but if he's able to get on base twice a game in front of Mookie in the games that really matter, all of a sudden, then we've got an MVP player going up there with a guy on base who's got some speed every time, and that's going to be huge.
Yeah, 100%. And Nunez, I don't even know. I feel bad for Nunez.
Yeah, especially the way Brock Holt's been hitting. But
he's a
different player at third base.
Yeah, in this series, Cora was kind of shifting everybody around everywhere. You know, he had Brock Holt at shortstop and that second. He had Nunez switching at short and then second and third. Like, he was just kind of playing with the lineup in this Baltimore series, which I guess you can do because, like we said, it's Baltimore. But I think that's all where a lot of our errors.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, with all the injuries, Alex Cora's been able to play around with the lineup a little bit more. And just try and play, not necessarily put your best guys out there, but put the guys out there that give you the best chance to win in a game, which is something that we haven't really seen much because the Red Sox offense has been so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, get this little stat. I know you probably seen me post it, but to our viewers, our listeners, actually, the Red Sox are now 29-5 during day games, which is a good thing. Yeah, which is a good thing to hear because, you know, like during the playoffs, they always have day games especially during the ALDS,
yeah,
or the DS, LDS. It's always day games. Have you noticed that?
I mean, so you could.
I guess there's something about the sun that just powers people up. I don't know. And be, some weird and be astrology is going
just
on
because of the type of year the team's having as a whole. So I think that you sort of take every stat with a grain of salt like that, because obviously it's very impressive and they're doing things at a historical pace, but they're doing everything at a historical pace. Like you could weave a stat any which way and it'd still look out of this world good.
Yeah. So game two, even though the bullpen didn't allow any runs, they still kind of look sloppy, but Price has another great game, and I think that kind of quiets down the Price haters for a little bit. And, you know, all people really have to say right now is wait till October. So
yeah, and I think
like
too,
they kind of
like
want him to do bad. I don't really
I've seen
understand
Red Sox,
it, but,
Red
you know,
Sox fans be like, hey, right, it doesn't matter because he's pitching against the Orioles. Well, fun fact, the Yankees, who are still considered a very, very good baseball team, have had some of their elite pitchers pitch very, very poorly against the Orioles.
Oh yeah, 100%. Which has pushed them back in the division. So you gotta. It doesn't matter who you're playing.
And that's the beauty of baseball. It's just like
day to
day, any team
can
win. The Red Sox have proven time and time again that they are just a phenomenal baseball club who can win any game that they participate in, that they play.
Yeah, and under any situation too. We've seen them. Here's another stat this year. The Red Sox have, it's either 35 or 36 come from behind wins. That's almost half of their wins. So this team has a bulldog mindset. You know, it doesn't matter if it's the eighth inning and they're down by four. You know, it doesn't matter if it's the second inning and they're down by 10. You know, they're going to chip away. They're going to battle. It's very nice to see, because, you know, when a team is doing this well, players can get cocky and whatnot, and when things don't go their way,
it's not the personality of the
sit
team.
Sit down
for sure.
And throw a fit and whatnot. But this team.
Yeah. So game two, Red Sox take it 5-0. Yeah. So that was the day.
So
day doubleheader of the day night. So the day game, and the Red Sox had no idea who they were pitching for game three or game two of the doubleheader.
Yeah, Yeah, I was just about to say that we didn't have a starting pitcher named until an hour before the game, which it was. So let me ask you this: if you Red Sox fans didn't watch the game or you haven't seen the box score or anything like that, it was a day of the bullpen. So I want to ask you this: so Hector Velasquez goes two innings, and gets pulled. Was it Alex Cora pitching this ball game as if Hector Velasquez wasn't the starter and just a guy out of the bullpen? He was just going to run the bullpen like it was a 9-inning bullpen game. You understand what I'm saying?
I mean, you're essentially saying, did he plan this as a bullpen day?
Yes, no. Yeah, I mean, like, but did he?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So that's exactly
so
what
he
they
really
did.
Didn't give Hector Velasquez the start. He just gave him his innings.
But the Red Sox offense, again, found a way to put up some runs late against what was a pretty depleted Orioles bullpen, too. It's tough because a lot of guys pitched a lot of innings. Pomeranz came in again and threw two scoreless. So, obviously, that's very good. What do you think about the rest of the bullpen? Yeah.
On game three?
Yeah.
Hembry looked terrible. I thought Joe Kelly pitched well. I don't know. He did give up a hit, but I think overall Joe Kelly is kind of back in the groove. I don't know. Do you think the same? I mean, he's not fully back.
Yeah. Yeah,
he,
I definitely
definitely
do
back
think
to
that
where
he's
he feels confident
sort of
again,
starting to find his groove.
In
high-level
situations.
Obviously very important. Kimbrel gave up another run, which wasn't great. But the Red Sox put some offense on the board. Six runs was enough to win the game behind three RBIs from JD Martinez. One, which was a go-ahead two-run home run. He had two home runs and now leads the majors with 37, which is out of this world good. Again, I think we saved this for the
bullpen. Am I freaking out about Kimbrel or today's episode, because
it's gonna be a good one. It's gonna be a good one. So I mean, definitely stick around.
I'm antsy.
But regardless, that was one of those games where sort of a marathon. Yeah. You just kind of like, okay,
yeah,
whatever. You're glad to get out with the win. You're glad to be in a position to earn a 4-game sweep, which is pretty much all you can wish for.
Yeah, well, so game three ends up being 6-4. It should have been way less. It should have been a 6-1, 6-2 ball game, but that goes. So game four, it was today during the day. Sale was back from injury, and
he looked like a better version of Chris Sale. Some shoulder fatigue. You think, okay, maybe he's going to be not as sharp. He's had 2 starts off, and he's looked the best he's looked all season. Maybe even tonight or today.
Yeah. So what's funny is, you know, people are upset that he got taken out in the fifth. After the fifth, after the game, Cora said that he had a strict 75 pitch limit on him, so sending him back out there for the sixth to let him get halfway through and then pulled and let a reliever not have a clean slate, would it be, you know, really fair?
There's no reason to try and push him to do something more, because he went out and pitched a phenomenal game and gave a chance to win. It's so gross.
Can you believe his slider is like, his slider?
I mean, he literally throws his pitch starts behind them and has so much break that it accelerates through and then just drops off the table.
Oh my, it's literally the dirty. And when it really sucks, because Chris Sale is, his average fastball is around 98 miles an hour. So when you get a 98 mile an hour fastball up in the zone, and then you get a freaking 84 mile an hour slider that just slips across the whole entire plate, you know, you're not. And I was reading up on this.
Yeah, I mean,
today.
Obviously
he has the highest swing and miss rate with balls inside the strike zone.
Completely electric. Nothing but electric.
Yeah. And Thornburg came in after Sale.
And
he did not
Daddy Brazier.
Look good whatsoever. Left the bases loaded with 2 outs. Brazier came in. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It was looking kind of
nasty
for a minute,
slider that
Brazier
totally
with
caught Mancini
big,
off balance.
Did you see what his last pitch was? Yeah, that's a ballsy.
Again, in Sandy we trust,
Sandy,
baby.
Call that,
so
you know,
to close out that game,
4-1
victory. Offense provided enough again. Not really anything to be worried about. Mookie Betts extended his hitting streak. They won it by a score of 4-1. I think that we will take a short break, and then we will be back in just a second to rant about what has been a rough couple days for the bullpen. Sam, I'll see you. Catch you in a second. That we've sort of alluded to this throughout the beginning of this episode so far, episode number 7 of Front Yard Sox, but the bullpen. And what do we do with the bullpen? Because trade deadline rolled around, and we had guys like Brazier coming up, throwing the ball really well, who still is, to be fair. We had Barnes looking like he was a lockdown 8th-inning guy. Kembry all of a sudden was able to make outs, coming in with inherited base runners. And Kimbrel was still lights out. But since then, things have changed. Barnes and Kembry have each allowed three or more or three earned runs in the last four starts, in the last four appearances, and Kimbrel has allowed an earned run or more in five of his last six games.
I'm speechless. I'm speechless, especially with Kimbrel, because that's really my biggest concern.
Yeah, so I mean, my thing is that, like, you watch him pitch and you watch these games, you're like, all right, like, this is bad. Like, this needs some fixing. But then you look at a stat like that, and you're like, you cannot have the guys that you were going to be relying on come October giving up runs to teams that aren't so good in situations where they should really be putting up zeros. And that's unacceptable. And Kimbrel has come damn near blowing a couple of games for the Red Sox this year.
Yeah.
In the past week.
Yeah. I wonder if I could pull this up right now. Someone was, you know, arguing with me today that we kind of maybe have to look elsewhere than Kimbrel. And I was like, what are you talking about? We don't have another closer in the bullpen besides, if you want to talk about Joe Kelly. But it's almost like I don't know what it is, but our hitters, our offense has to put up at least a 3 or 4 run lead, and our starters do exactly what they're supposed to do and go hang goose eggs on the freaking box score for this bullpen just to blow up. You know, it's absolutely disgusting. It sucks for those starting pitchers too, because they come in and they pitch a dime of a game just to probably most likely get the loss or no decision.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, thankfully the Red Sox have won 9 of their last 10, or 10 of their last 11. So it's not really costing them ball games, but it's going to get to the point where it will.
Yeah, in the postseason, we're going to have 4 or 5 run leads, but don't plan on it. You know, this is the postseason. You're most likely going to have a lot of 1 to 2 run ball games.
Yeah. So that being said, I think that the question is, what would the ideal bullpen look like for the Red Sox? And mine would probably be, obviously you want your starter to go at least 6. So in that situation, I think you bring Kelly out for the 7th. I think you just force it down his throat, and you have whoever the pitching coach is, Dana Lavangi, you have Lavangi working with him around the clock. I'm sure he already is, to really nail down his mechanics and make sure he gets back to form. But I think you just go Kelly, Barnes, Kimbrel, because those guys are proven major league pitchers. And as we've seen before, command issues do not persist.
Yeah, I agree with you. Barnes and Kelly is a total mashup for me. One can have the other. The other scenario I would suggest, if our pitcher only goes 5 or even 4, and even if he goes 6, maybe Hector Velasquez for the 7th, or 6 and 7th if you need 2 innings.
Yeah, or even Brian Johnson, depending on what happens when Erod comes back. But I will say, it's much better. Like, just thinking about that right now, you just feel like you have so much more depth in the bullpen than the Red Sox have proven. Because then all of a sudden you've got the likes of Thornburg, you've got Brazier, who's been throwing incredible, who even might deserve the 7th inning spot or role. You've got Thornburg still. You've got Pomerantz. Workman sort of been up and down between in and out between AAA and the bigs. But it just seems like you have more versatility than what the Red Sox have proven in the last couple days.
Yeah. And it's also going to be based on matchups also. I mean, come playoff time, you know it's going to be a big matchup where maybe a pitcher comes in for one batter, you know, which I think if that was to happen, you'd probably see a lot of Joe Kelly for a one batter series.
Yeah, just because he throws hard.
Yeah, the gases. He's got he does have the stuff, like – and his last couple of outings, I would say his last month, have actually been pretty – back to Joe Kelly.
Yeah, pretty good. They've been pretty good.
Yeah. Barnes had a tough game on Sunday. Barnes has been very consistent this year.
Yeah.
And he's been probably one of the more consistent guys in the bullpen that nobody really talks about.
I mean, obviously, he's going to play a very important role. It makes you wonder why the Red Sox didn't go out, why Dave Dombrowski didn't go out and get another arm. And once again, he's very confident in the pitching staff, and he's very confident in the coaching of the pitching staff.
Well, you know what's crazy? You know, all these guys that, you know, everybody wanted us to go get are pitching terribly.
Yeah.
It's kind of like pick your poison.
Yeah, literally any. Britton gave up another 200 runs in the Bronx and almost blew a game Saturday night for the Yankees against the Rangers. I will say, I watched Keona Kelly. Is that his name?
Keona Kelly.
Keona Kelly. I watched him pitch against the Giants, and he's got really good stuff. He's sort of
–
He's sort of what the rest of the Red Sox bullpen looks like when they're pitching well, which is good velocity on the fastball, a good enough changeup, and good off-speed. Good breaking
pitch. Oh, yeah. And he's young, too. And I really wish we would have went out and got this guy because, well, one – the only thing that was tough about going to get him is that you had to move him from a closing role to most likely an eighth inning role.
Yeah.
Because Kimbrel is the man all the way, even if he is struggling right now.
Yeah.
Keona Kelly really does. He went to the Pirates, right?
Yeah. So that's the thing too, is the Red Sox, these issues with Kimbrel aren't going to last. And if anything, maybe it results in him getting less money in the offseason if the Red Sox decide to re-sign him. Who knows? Kimbrel, though, he's the type of guy where because he only throws two pitches and because he's known to have good fastball command in the past, he's going to be able to be that lockdown closer guy. He's not going to continue with these struggles.
Freaking out?
Yeah, I mean, he's just kind of in a slump. He did strike out three batters in the ninth, which is
well,
a good
sign.
He's
either going to strike him out or get knocked.
Yeah, that's true. But he has had an issue with walks. And then also, too, Durbin Feltman. I seriously think we see him play a very integral role in the Red Sox bullpen come October or even September with the September call-ups.
What? There's no
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's no way. You want to place a bet on it?
Yeah.
I bet you that Feltman doesn't see more than one inning the entire postseason.
Yeah, I bet you that I'll bet you $5 that he comes up and becomes a pretty important part of this bullpen. I mean, obviously that's like kind of arbitrary. So
yeah.
So we'll see.
You still owe me $5.
I know, I do.
Anyway.
From who was that? Some bullshit Tigers pitcher.
What did we? Oh yeah. I forget his name, but whatever. It don't matter.
He did. He made it. The four innings or whatever it was.
The five
innings. Excuse me. Lord forbid. But again, I'm not pressing the panic button anytime soon. You can't expect these guys to be solid year round. We've seen it with the Yankees bullpen. Aroldis Chapman is struggling. Zach Britton is struggling. Betances has blown a couple of games for them this year already. It's gonna happen. You're not gonna have the Eric Gagne of relief pitchers throwing immaculate games every single time they go out there.
And you know what the good thing is, Ben, is that me and you are, and everybody else in the entire Red Sox fan base is absolutely freaking out right now, but we're still sweeping series, winning series.
Yeah, that's the thing. This team just finds ways to win games.
Yeah, we got one of the best. I want to know, do you have your computer pulled up right now? I can look. Where are we at on the home run race team-wise? I know the Yankees are pretty far out ahead, but I feel like that has to be dwindling. Can you look that up, Stat Guy?
So, MLB team batting stats. Yeah, so obviously the Yankees are a home run hitting team. The Red Sox were killing them in runs, but they have 190 this year. They literally just hit home runs. Boston is second with 165. So
we're only 25 back.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Which is, I mean, who cares? Who cares about that stat anyway? I just think it's funny that the Bronx Bombers are only 25 home runs ahead of the Red Sox, who have really essentially one home run hitter, and that's J.D. Martinez. Mookie just hits a lot of home runs.
Yeah, so, I mean, but that's the thing, too, is that the Red Sox have a higher slugging percentage. So when they do hit, they're not, even though they're not hitting as many home runs, they're still going for extra bases, which is huge. Like, the Red Sox are just, they lead the league in all other statistical categories.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I want to say we're top five in strikeout rate, too. I'm almost positive.
Yeah, I would bet, because we don't really strike out that much of a team as a team. Our big power hitters, Pierce and Bogarts and J.D. Martinez, don't strike out that much relative to other guys putting up similar numbers.
Hey, let's I know we haven't talked about this. I'm kind of like throwing this on you right now. Bogarts, what do you think about extending him this offseason?
I mean, if it's up to me right now, you extend Bogarts, you extend.
How much money do you give him, though?
So that's the thing, is that, like, right now, he could be kind of cheap, like, relative to what it would take to go get another elite shortstop. Because I consider him elite.
Yeah, I made a list yesterday. I put him at number five shortstop in the entire league.
Obviously, the AL is much more stacked than the NL, because the NL had Brandon Crawford starting the All-Star game. But I think that you give him maybe 20 a year.
Oh, my God. You think?
Yeah.
You think he's going to cost that much?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Because so the good thing right now is that – so this offseason – position player wise, I mean, you know, we're gonna have to go out and get Sale anyways, and Sale's gonna, there's not a better position for Sale to be in than the Red Sox, so
yeah.
I don't think we're really worried about Sale. We're not worried about Mookie. Mookie wants to stay in Boston, and we're gonna give him all the money in the world. JD, hopefully. So with JD, what are we gonna, we're gonna be taking his opt outs?
There's some discussion of sort of restructuring his contract so he can opt out, because there's the potential for him trying to get more money elsewhere, because Boris is greedy. He's a slimy agent. But I will say that at that point, he'll be 32 years old, and he's not going to get a deal for huge money. Like, might as well just take the extend and give JD like the $5 million annual value and then just cancel out those opt-outs, because then that'll take him through his age 34 season, which will probably just cover his prime.
Yeah. So that leaves Bogarts, and I think Bogarts is kind of the first guy we've had in a long time that's putting up good numbers and has been consistent. Because think of all the shortstops we've gone through. Since Nomar, we've had a ton. I don't even know if I can name them off right now. I know we have Alex Cora. We had Edgar Renteria.
Alex Cora.
We had,
never forget.
Yeah, yeah. Who else did we have?
We've just had a lot of guys at that position. I think that it'll be nice to actually nail down someone who's come up through the system and have them be committed to the city and stay there for a while. It'll be refreshing.
Yeah. And Xander has just been a real key. He's hitting so good. Like, he is under the radar hitting. He's going to have 20 plus homers, and I don't know where he's at RBI.
A lot of RBI is like ninth in the league. Going. He's put up 72 RBIs, which is incredible. More than Mookie, more than Benny.
Yes. Yeah, oh my God, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about. I also, where do you sit on JBJ? He signed through 2021.
Yeah, I think that you just extend him too.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. While he's, because his stock is going to be low this offseason.
Yeah, exactly. And he probably wants to stay in Boston. He's been here his whole life. He loves it. No reason not to. I mean, I think that we'll just see a lot of internal moves this offseason, which will be refreshing again from going out and just getting big name guys. But I mean, this team's incredible.
I don't know. I think our bullpen, we are going to – I think we're going to clean house with our bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – I think that, too, this team's got a really good young core, and they're obviously winning games, so why not just ride that train out?
Oh, yeah. We got to have one of the youngest teams in the league.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of contributing guys for – like relative to their age, I'm sure definitely up there.
Yeah. So I know we kind of got off a tangent away from the bullpen, but I just thought I was looking into that earlier and I was kind of thinking like, what are the chances that we get all of our guys back?
Yeah.
You know, cause we're over the luxury right now.
Yeah. So,
which is,
so, I mean, obviously, thankfully, like we drop Hanley's contract next season. We don't owe that many guys that much money anymore. From some of the bad signings. I think we still got some like Carl Crawford residue. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Quickly, yeah. I don't think we really need to pause this and hit another section. Let's just sort of go around the league. David Bodie hit a walk-off grand slam tonight against a struggling Nationals bullpen. I turned it on literally for the final lap out of the game, and it was electric. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I told you. I was watching that
game. Yeah. It was nuts. Scherzer, another crazy good start, just wiped clean
Hey, that was his first
A's rookie. I don't know what his name is. Yeah, well, I mean, what a time. A's rookie, that dude who had like the 321 foot put out for the double play against the Angels. That was a cannon. You saw that, right?
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. That was like the bet. That's the throw of the season. 100%. Did you see?
Yeah, it was like absolutely... that Cespedes throw in the Anaheim Stadium.
What? Who was on base? Who was that? Do you know? I didn't know who it was.
Justin Upton, maybe.
Say it again.
Justin, I think.
Okay, so what was he doing? Why was he in a position to get thrown out like that?
No, not even his, dude. You see a throw like that literally every decade, like once a decade. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no. That thing was awesome. Oh, you want to talk about freaking Engel?
Another robbed home run. He's killing it. He's definitely given JBJ a run for his money for Gold Glove center fielder.
Yeah, that's three in a week. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's wild.
And this pat, this the one was it? I think it was today. I think it was, yeah. The one today what? Was the one he had today was stupid. That was one of the best catches of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Another big news: Mariners swept the Astros. Astros are struggling without their big guys. My buddy was at the San Francisco Giants Astros game and said that the Astros look like a Triple A offense.
Yeah, they're not having a good go right now. They'll pick it back up, I think. But that's going to be the division to watch this next month or so, because that's going to decide who's playing the Yankees. And if the Astros somehow get bumped by the Oakland, or if they get bumped by Oakland and Seattle and totally miss the playoffs, that's, oh my God, Houston's going to lose their mind.
Yeah, it'll be crazy. Also, too, it shows Red Sox have had comparable injuries, not quite the same, but they're still winning games. Also shows the depth that the Red Sox have, which makes you feel good about the way this team's going.
Yeah. We talk about it every podcast. And it's almost like a Boston thing. The Red Sox have kind of established this New England mindset of the next man up. And it's working 100%, because – people that are coming out, you know, Brock Holt, for example.
Yeah.
He's getting told to play third base, shortstop, second base, the outfield. And he's just coming through. And he was slumping for a little bit, but he found his bat again. Nunez asking to do, you know, things that he's not used to doing.
Yeah, totally.
Swinging the hell out of the bat. So it's just a good thing to see. And even though we harp on a lot of people, we're still 85 and 35 right now. So I guess we're just perfectionist.
Yeah. So last thing to touch on, Yankees only week, we talked about it. Philly series coming up. it's Porcello back on the mound looking to get back on track. I don't really think that this is obviously a huge series for the Phillies. I think for the Red Sox, it just sort of feels like the get in, get out kind of attitude before we come home to face the Indians. Mm-hmm. But still should be a good series. Two very good teams. The Phillies own a half-game lead in the NL East.
What's up with us having two-game sets against the Phillies?
Well, so that's how it works with a lot of the modern-day interleague series. Just sort of two games quickly because you get an off day before you roll into a four-game set against a team, and then you just go visit the other place. It's sort of just like an intermediate stop.
So is you think Porcello's going to drop a bomb?
What?
You think Porcello's going to drop a bomb?
Define bomb.
Like a 400-footer.
Oh, as in a hitting bomb. Yeah, I think there's a shot.
Yeah.
He was swinging a hot bat.
Yeah, exactly. What, he's one for one on the year?
He's one for three, actually, which ties J.D. Martinez's average.
Yeah, and you know, he's got three RBIs. You know, dude's hitting the lights out of the ball. Who's got that second game?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably going to loop back to Eovaldi.
Oh yeah, and he needs a. That
both,
was
both boys need a pick me up start for sure.
Yeah, and that's the Phillies are. We talked about this before. The Phillies are no slouch of a team, and they're fighting for their division right now. But they're a hell of a hitting team.
Yeah. So definitely will be an interesting series to watch. I think that's it for my end. Sam, you got anything else to touch on?
I think that's it, man. Let's just quick hit on this real quick for a few minutes. JD Martinez and Mookie Betts, both are, top candidates for the MVP, I would say. There's a couple other people you could throw in there, like Baez and whatnot. So JD is going for the Triple Crown, which I don't think he's going to get because Mookie Betts is hitting like .352 right now.
Yeah.
And his WAR has just now exceeded Mike Trout's at 7.8. Where do you stand?
What?
As in, where do you stand as in who should be winning the MVP?
If Mookie it was Betts, he just adds so much to this team between the 23 stolen bases, the equal number of strikeouts to walks, his defensive play. Obviously, WAR plays a little bit of a role in the MVP voting as well, as we've seen in the past. But he's just putting up his OPS is over 1,100, which is insane.
What if JD Martinez got the Triple Crown?
Oh, if a player wins the Triple Crown doesn't win an MVP, it would be an atrocity. So if JD Martinez pulls off a Triple Crown, and if he gets up to like 350, JD Martinez wins the MVP. With his power numbers, absolutely. But right now I think it's Mookie Betts.
And you're putting that because of WAR.
What?
And you're choosing that because of WAR, yeah. Right? I like the WAR stat, but it's so there's an error rate on it, and I don't like the error rate. It's a whole point, you know. So really, Mookie Betts might have a 6.8 right now. He might have an 8.8, and it's getting and we talked about this before, but defensively, everybody can play defense for the most part, you know. I mean, not everybody's going to be good as Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley and whatnot. But the fact that hurts your WAR so bad that you could potentially not win an MVP from it is it seems like kind of a flawed stat if that's what.
Yeah,
we're going
I agree.
On.
I definitely agree. So
but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, definitely be interesting to watch. I think that does it for us here, episode number 7 of Front Yard Sox. Thank you all for tuning in. Look forward to an off day tomorrow. It's going to be pretty miserable, but make it through. We've got a nice 2-game set against the Phillies before we take on the Indians back at Fenway Park. Sam, thanks for joining me. Once again, shout out We The People Sports. Make sure you follow them on social media as well. I'm really looking forward to our partnership with them down the road.
Yeah.
All right, have a good one. The Red Sox.
Can I take it back to the days I learned how to make a rap? Bumping Eminem had me cussing hell and saying, wow. Young and stupid as hell, some W's and some L's, running and moving with hella dudes that was soon up in jail. 3-6 and nicotine up with kings. Yo, I used to have that Paul Wall and Nelly song as my ringtone. Finish up on my cover, printing up like 100. Dipping out of the Kinkos, we ever pay? I don't think so. Growing up forever young and thinking nothing ends. No haters left to me, dog. I just miss my fucking friends. I used to trip out and think, like, what if he listened to me? What type of person Lil Quincy would be? Now I'm sniffing and seeing women that seem to be chasing after the man that I am, but they're just trying to poison a rapper. I love Manhattan, but realize I got no choice in the matter. Woo! Your boy's back in Seattle, I'm about to fuck shit up.
Hop in my plane, you know damn well why we came.
I'm back.
I might have been away, but I made it back all the same. Feels good to be home.
Yippee-yay, it's Friday and I'm cooked like a fried steak and my eyes are looking like fried eggs. Vibrate, I'm late again and my band's mad. Eyes roll, brain farts, face melts, hand smacks. Whoa. Flowers off of mantles, I'm handling all my business in bed and finishing text to all seven misses I met while sipping Bev. Bridges, cooler than 10 fridges, I bet. Well, my eyes are hanging lower than necklaces. If you don't get it, don't listen. No, I'm joking, I'm kidding. This shit for everybody. Never been here dreaming of profit, I'm pulling things in my noggin. Don't need a theme or a topic, I'm leaning to rock and stop fiending for more women and cheddar and chips. Look around you, there's nothing better than this. It took a minute to get it, but now I feel I got the fact of the matter. Your boy's back in Seattle, I'm about to fuck shit up.
Woo! Hop in my plane, you know damn well why we came.
Woo!
I might have been away, but I made it back all the same. Feels good to be home.
Feels good.
Da 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 da